All right, ready to dive into something pretty cool today, pterygoid implants.
Yeah, we're going deep on this one, especially for all of you working with dental implants day in and day out. I mean, you know, restoring those severely atrophic jaws, especially in the back of the maxilla. Ugh, what a challenge. But we're going to unpack a possible solution.
Yeah, those cases where the bone is just, well, not great. And then you've got the sinus issues and the periodontitis to deal with on top of it all.
Yeah.
It's like, are traditional implants even an option? And what about augmentations, the sinus lifts, the grafts? Sometimes they just don't feel like the right fit.
Right. Adds so much time, complexity, and to be honest, the cost. Not always the best for, well, patient satisfaction, but
yeah.
Pterygoid implants, they offer a pretty fascinating alternative. Might just change how you approach those tricky cases.
So are we saying ditch traditional implants completely?
No, not necessarily. Think of pterygoid implants as, another tool in your arsenal. They really come into play when the traditional approaches just aren't going to cut it. They offer that, you know, strong cortical anchorage, but without needing all that augmentation.
Okay, I like the sound of that. Less augmentation, less hassle. But what are they exactly? How do pterygoid implants actually, like, work?
So picture this. Axial implants. You place them right through the maxillary tuberosity. And they anchor, get this, right into the pterygoid process of the sphenoid bone. And that process, all about that dense cortical bone, perfect for supporting those implants.
Uh-huh. It's like finding solid ground in the middle of quicksand.
Exactly. And because you're engaging that strong bone, you can often bypass those long, drawn-out bone augmentation procedures, shorter treatment time, potentially fewer issues, and happier patients. Who doesn't love that?
All right, I'm on board so far. But how new is this, really? Pterygoid implants, they seem pretty cutting edge.
You know, they've been around longer than you might think. Way back in 75, Linko, he actually proposed the idea.
Wow, going way back.
Yeah, but it wasn't until 92 that J.F. Telazny, he really laid out the technique. What's cool is that these recent advances, like in implant design and how we actually do it, they've made pterygoid implants, well, a much more viable, predictable option.
Okay, so we're not talking experimental fringe science here.
Nope, not at all. Dr. Henri Diedrich, he's been doing some amazing work with the Swiss company Trait. Real cutting-edge innovations in the field.
This is where it gets interesting for me. We're talking, like, the forefront of implant dentistry. But before we go there, can we back up a sec? Just want to make sure I'm clear on the anatomy here.
Sure. Understanding the anatomy, it's essential, especially if you want to place pterygoid implants safely and successfully.
So, pterygoid 101. But, like, implant dentist version, not a whole anatomy lecture.
Yeah, fair enough. Three bones are our main players. Maxillary tuberosity, pyramidal process of the palatine bone, and, of course, our star, the pterygoid process of the sphenoid. That's our target.
You mentioned that process has that dense cortical bone, which is good, but isn't most of the bone in that area considered kind of, well, not so great?
You're right. Most of the pterygomaxillary region, it's type 3 or 5V. Not ideal for supporting implants at all, but the pterygoid process, it's different. Much higher density. That's why it works so well for those implants.
Ah, so like a little island of strong bone in a sea of, well, not so strong bone.
Right. But, and this is important. We can't forget this area is packed with important structures too. The pterygoid venous plexus, the maxillary artery, the descending palatine artery. It's all right there.
So very little room for error, I imagine.
Absolutely. Mess up implant placement. You could be looking at uncontrolled bleeding, even damage to those structures.
Yeah.
This isn't a procedure to be taken lightly. You need a really solid grasp of the anatomy and a precise surgical technique.
Okay, yeah, now I'm starting to see why this could seem a little intimidating to some folks.
Yeah, it's understandable. But any advanced procedure, the key is training, you know, the right kind. And a healthy respect for just how complex it can be.
Speaking of complex, what about the implants themselves? They're made for this specific area, obviously, but how are they different from, like, regular implants?
So first off, pterygoid implants, they're usually much longer than conventional ones, like 16 to 26 millimeters, that kind of range.
Whoa, why so long?
Couple reasons, actually. First, you got to make sure the implant reaches and engages that dense cortical bone of the pterygoid process. Don't want it relying on the weaker bone around it. Second, longer implant helps minimize those cantilever forces, the ones that can put stress on the implant, you know, mess with stability.
So basically max out contact with the strong bone and minimize anything that could lead to problems later on.
Exactly. And another thing, that pointed self-tapping apex lets the implant really anchor into that dense pterygoid process.
Hmm.
You get primary stability right from the start.
Like hammering a nail into, like, super hardwood.
Good analogy. But remember, the maxillary tuberosity, where the implant starts its journey, that's lower density bone. To deal with that, pterygoid implants, they have a wider thread profile at the neck, more surface area, better contact, and stability in that softer bone.
So like a two-part anchoring system. Sharp point for the strong pterygoid process, and a wider base for grip in the tuberosity.
You got it. Now remember, Dr. Giedrich and those innovations, he's taken pterygoid implant design to a whole new level.
Yeah, fill me in. What's so special about his implants?
So he ditched the whole two-piece implant design, went for a single-piece pterygoid implant.
And how does that change things?
For one, simpler procedure. Fewer parts, fewer chances for things to go wrong, but it's more than that. The single-piece implants, conical shape, that lets them slide in and compress the bone gently instead of cutting through it.
And that helps with healing and stability.
Exactly. Less trauma, better contact between the bone and the implant. Plus, he's added these compressive threads strategically placed to boost stability even more.
That's getting pretty revolutionary, huh? Anything else?
Oh, there's more. He's also added an HATCP surface treatment. HA, that's hydroxyapatite. TCP is tricalcium phosphate. They're known for promoting faster and stronger bone growth around the implant.
So optimizing every step from the design to how the bone integrates.
Exactly. Dr. Diederich's work, it's the cutting edge of pterygoid implant technology. It's pretty exciting to see how it's changing how we approach these cases.
All right, so we've got these super cleverly designed implants, but actually putting them in, that's got to be a whole other story.
You're telling me. Surgical technique, that's crucial for pterygoid implant placement. And as we've mentioned, it takes real expertise and precision. But let's save that conversation for the next part of our deep dive.
Okay, I'm already hooked. We'll be back soon to dig into the surgical techniques for placing these pterygoid implants.
We'll cover the traditional approach and, of course, Dr. Diederich's soft technique. Gotta say, it's pretty remarkable.
Sounds like a game changer. See y'all soon.